Thank you. We're speaking with Zach Hood and Jenny Gary with the Baldwin EMA. It is 8:33 and 60 degrees, dense fog advisory in effect. We've got lots to talk about because some folks might be on a time limit driving to work or whatnot. Let's go to COVID and the vaccines. I know that that was an unprecedented event, as you said, having a lifetime of experience in 1 year dealing with a pandemic. But anything you want to say about that before we get specifically into the vaccines?
We can go ahead and mention that today there is a mass drive-through vaccination clinic that is sponsored by the Alabama Department of Public Health, and that is operating today at OWA. And today is second doses only at that location. So individuals that are looking for first dose, there'll be opportunities to obtain the first dose of Moderna next Tuesday. There's also opportunities to obtain the first dose of Pfizer if you want to contact either the Walmart or either the local hospitals in the area. You can look to make appointments. Of course, that is based on availability of vaccine.
Which has been a complete frustration, I'm sure, to not have enough vaccines at this point to go around. We were surprised when the list came out of Walmart vaccines available and there was nothing in Baldwin County. And I was told that's because of a demographic and economic situation, and I was a bit dumbfounded about that. Tell us how Baldwin County was missed and how they have now started vaccines at the Walmart in Robertsdale, and then they're hoping to expand.
You know, I always like to make the point that at some point in time, someone that may be listening to this has heard that all disasters begin and end locally. In this case, specifically with dealing with the pandemic and dealing with vaccine, we heavily rely on the federal government to supply the state and then the state to supply the counties. The issues at hand that we are dealt with each day on vaccine supply is the allocation of vaccine from the federal government. And so what we know is if the federal government can get it to our state will eventually get it to us and out to the areas that need the vaccine supply. And what the federal government is telling us is that over the next several weeks, even month, you know, we will see an increase in supply to our area. And as that supply increases, we will be able to, as a community, get it into more of your private sector areas, such as Walmart, CVS, Walgreens. Some of those particularly helped vaccinate nursing homes early on in this. And so the process is there, but no one's able to do anything without the vaccine.
Exactly.
And so that's where we are with the vaccine allocation.
And was the allocation done based on population? Is that how the federal government allocated per state?
Exactly, and I'd like to point out that the change in the population over the last 10 years, I mean, I know we have a census out that's pending. Well, I'm anxious about the results of that census particularly, but I can tell you that our demographics, our numbers now mm-hmm. are nowhere close to what they were 10 years ago. There's no way, and so I think locally on a ground level, if you want to look at the strategic goal to get shots in arms, here locally you could see the challenges right off the bat with the numbers versus what we mm-hmm. truly have. And I'm not even talking about visitors. I'm talking just people that live in Baldwin County, folks that are residents here, that work here or work in the area, that live here. Those numbers are very different from what they were 10 years ago.
Jenny, what phase of the vaccine process are we in? And it's a little confusing because some folks still don't know if they're eligible.
Absolutely. So the Alabama Department of Public Health has published an allocation plan. And when individuals go to the website to look and see if they fall in this plan, the health department has chosen to pull certain eligible groups within 1A, 1B, and 1C as we have progressed through administering vaccine over the last few months. So right now what you're seeing is they began the process with those essential workers, the healthcare workers. They began to expand it to age groups. And so currently we are open for giving vaccine to those that are in 1A and 1B, and then the group that is 65 and older out of 1C.
That's where it's confusing, because I was looking at the chart from the Alabama Department of Public Health, and in 1C, it gets those high-risk categories that so many people are waiting on, but we're not there yet.
It has been confusing, like you said, and I think based on the limitation of vaccine availability, they have, public health has determined that they're pulling select groups within these 1A, 1B, 1C in order to directly target those groups for vaccine. So it is a little bit confusing, but they have created these graphics that are a little easier to understand for the public. So just know that you can go and take a look at that. But we are 65 and older is the individual groups that are being pulled from that 1C.
And here in Baldwin County, I know I've heard in Mobile County, is Baldwin the same, where the frontline workers, like the grocery store workers, people in a very close contact setting, are they eligible right now in Baldwin?
It is my understanding that right now they are beginning to open up those phases for individuals that are in those conditions where they're more likely to contact. And so it's very interesting, because the Alabama Department of Public Health does have jurisdiction over Baldwin County, where Mobile County Health Department has an independent health department. So sometimes when you see variations between Baldwin County and Mobile County Health Department, it is because they're structured a little bit differently.
They're actually structured a lot differently. Yeah. The Mobile County Health Department is funded, I think, in part by the county and the city for their operation workforce. Why is it in Baldwin County our health department is so small and actually shared with other counties? Is that a question you can address?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we filled a large number of calls each and every day, and that's one of the number one discussions right now is, you know, a caller, someone seeking information about vaccine particularly, and it's a hot topic right now, and rightfully so. They'll call us because they see Baldwin County Health Department. Well, the Baldwin County Health Department is ran by the Alabama Department of Public Health, and so what we have to do with our community through the relationships that we have is help relay the information that the state is passing down to the counties, which consist of the Southwest District. So, yes, you're right. There are 10 counties in the Southwest District with the exception of Mobile. So we share with the counties around us all of the vaccine allocation, the same staff members that work for the Southwest District of Public Health. And as we all know, is public health is doing all they can, but they are critically understaffed in terms of trying to field out large vaccination clinic sites and things like that. And so that's where we come into play. They call us,
yeah.
And they call us and say, hey, here, we need help with A, B, and C. Can you guys help us out? Can y'all come in and give us a hand? And that's where we get involved. And so naturally individuals will call and you know, with questions or concerns, different challenges, and we would do is we'll take that and document it and then pass that back to them. But what I often find is when there's some sort of conflict, specifically in our community, it's because they see Baldwin County Health Department. Obviously, we're an entity of Baldwin County, and what they're not fully understanding is Baldwin County Health Department is state ran and operated by the Alabama Department of Public Health. So when Dr. Harris comes on, when Dr. Landers comes on and speaks, well, those are the top leaders for our district. And so I like to always discuss that when I can, because then it becomes, okay, well, it becomes community driven. What can we do to help? What can I do to help? And that's where we have been very critical in helping get vaccine into arms within our county. Is I can't tell you the turnout of volunteers that we had. It was similar to what you would see with a hurricane, and they were volunteers that we have never seen before. You know, we have a pool of about 100-150 volunteers that we see each and every month, just about throughout the year. But then this vaccine and the pandemic has brought out a whole nother level of volunteers, which has been very positive. So there are some positive connections that occurred specifically because of us assisting with the vaccine clinics. And I can tell you that federal supply is trickling in, and as that increases, you will notice a little more availability, a little less stress when it comes to going and getting your vaccine.
Thank you, Zach. And I can't applaud you all enough, especially as a member of the media, but for the general public as well. Every time you turned around, you could go to Baldwin County Emergency Management Agency online and see constant updates and information. So we do appreciate that a lot. Is there a place where folks can just click to see where vaccines are? Through that dashboard? Is that...
So we have worked with our CIS department internally and have created on our website, when you go to the Baldwin County Commission website, it's baldwincountyal.gov/EMA. And so on that website, you'll see at the very top, there's a banner that will talk about COVID resources. And then there's also some blocks that are dedicated to the COVID information related to the dashboard, and also some resources about where sites are for vaccine clinics. And we know that's very dynamic. It does change from day to day because our new private sector businesses are announcing that they have availability within their stores. We have been also in discussion. CVS has made announcements that they're going to be expanding their opportunities here within Baldwin County. And so it's going to be much more opportunity for individuals to gain the vaccine. And it just may be that you need to check back in with those websites periodically, because updates will be made with more stores coming online, with more appointments, and more vaccine delivery. We've talked about also how the obstacles and challenges that we face through COVID, we talked about severe weather, and it's interesting how many of the severe weather events across the nation have impacted the way that we receive vaccine. So the winter weather that's in that they saw in Texas has actually impacted our deliveries of vaccine into our areas as well.
Okay. I also found on the Alabama Department of Public Health, the COVID-19 dashboard, or and their website, there's a place where you click vaccines and it will give you maps, because it's ever-changing. It's very dynamic, as you said, Zach, as the supply increases and the parameters of who gets the vaccine change. This is WABF. It is 8:45 and 61 degrees. Foggy in our area. Do be careful out there. We're speaking with Zach Hood and Jenny Gary from the Baldwin County Humane Society. Anything else you want to mention about the pandemic before we move on? Did I say Humane Society?
That's okay.
I did.
We're all one entity here.
I heard myself do it when I was pulling
Oh, that's okay.
When I was pulling up y'all's website, that one popped up.
It did.
Had to be where it came from. The Baldwin County Emergency Management Agency.
Hey, shout out to the Baldwin County Shelter, too. You know, shout out to those guys while we're here.
Now, one thing I would like to mention as far as an update for our COVID numbers as a county, you know, we have been in close partnership and communication with all of our medical and health partners around the county. We're monitoring, you know, the number of cases. We're monitoring the hospitals and the amounts of patients that are in the hospitals related to that. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we're down to a 4% positivity
Very
rate,
encouraging.
Which is incredibly encouraging.
Very encouraging.
Considering what we've seen over the last months. So the activities that we're doing, the face wearing face coverings, the social distancing, the hand washing, the hygiene, all of those things play a critical role in limiting the spread of the disease in conjunction with the vaccine availability. So our numbers in our community are really looking very good right now.
UAB issued a study yesterday saying they think the state can reach herd immunity by May. What does that mean?
So herd immunity for our state would be about 70% of the population, and we can get specific in the numbers, but what I want to do is just kind of back up a little bit.
70% vaccinated?
Yeah, 70% vaccinated is about herd immunity. That's the target. But what I want to do is back up and just reiterate on the fact that we are seeing the vaccine work. And I know there's a lot of questions about which vaccine, you know, what particularly is in the vaccine, and all the natural concerns that come with vaccine in general, but particularly with this new vaccine. some of the conversation that I overhear and see just within the community, there's still a concern on whether the vaccine is effective or not. And it's safe to say, based on here locally, and what I can speak on is locally, I like to talk about what's going on here in Baldwin County, mm-hmm. over in Fairhope, wherever in our county. I like to point out specifically what is going on here locally, because I think that's important, and I don't think the media covers that enough. But here specifically on the ground, we are seeing immediate results of individuals becoming vaccinated. It is reducing the burden on our hospitals. And that's exactly what we want to achieve. We want to prevent everyone from being sick at the same time. And so as individuals have gotten COVID and recovered, as individuals have become vaccinated, we are seeing those numbers drop. But I do want to say that, you know, the restrictions are still in place. I'm ready for those to be lifted just as much as anyone else mm-hmm. in this room, anyone else that may be listening to this. I'm ready for those to be restricted, you know, as soon as they can be. But I will tell you that we still need to maintain the distance, reduce large gatherings, and not get comfortable in what we are seeing. It's not over. I still think that by doing those things, you can prevent someone from dying. And so that's what I want to point out, is those are still in place. You know, let's be selfless, not selfish. We're almost through this. And if we can come together and maintain the recommendations from ADPH, if we can continue to get individuals vaccinated one at a time, by the end of the year, I think we may be in a very different situation than we are now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Zach. And Jenny, as you mentioned, an infection rate right now of about 4%. Wasn't our high somewhere around 10 or 11, or can you contribute to that?
If I'm not mistaken, some of our highest positivity rates, and those are the rates of individuals being tested, of course, for COVID-19, we saw rates as high as 36% at a given time.
Whoa.
So right now, what we are, based on our data that we've collected, we're looking at about 4% right now today versus a few months ago. We were looking, you know, in the 20s and in the 30% range. Mm-hmm. So we have seen drastic improvement in those numbers.
Very good. Very good. Would you still like to maybe reflect upon Hurricane Sally
Absolutely.
And Zeta that affected some folks, especially on the waterfront? What an exhaustive effort that the EMA and other agencies came together to try to help people. But there's still lots to be done. Driving out into the rural area of the county, even just a mile or so outside of the Fairhope city limits, you still see a lot of tree damage, a lot of destruction.
We have a lot of work in many areas in our county. You know, first and foremost, we do have a lot of work that you see that still physically needs to be done, if you will. But also, there's a lot of education and outreach that needs to occur, and we're going to do the best we can to get the information out. But I'm calling on anyone that is listening to help us get information out. And so you may say, Zach, Jenny, what is the first thing I can do driving in my car or sitting in my office listening mm-hmm. to this broadcast? And what I can say is, make sure you connect with us now. If you're not connected with the Baldwin County Emergency Management Agency, through our app, through our mass notification system, through social media, please do that now. And then also connect others. Find three people. They can be individuals you work with or three individuals you see. They can be your neighbors. Especially, you know, we want to target any vulnerable populations that you may be aware of. So, obviously, you know, our nursing homes, the elderly, the physically handicapped, we want to make sure that they can get notified just as you. And we have the resources for that, but they're relatively new just in the last year or two as far as what we do in terms of outreach. So please help us get that word out. I think we're up to over 20,000 likes on Facebook. You know, my target by June's, I like to see that almost 40,000. I don't know if we'll get there or not, but we had a lot of accolades for utilizing social media in the way that we did throughout the storm response, and it wasn't perfect, and emergency management is an imperfect practice. We strive to do what is right, try to use timing, and try to utilize the outlets we have. So it's not always perfect, but I can tell you that I think a lot of people made informed decisions for their family and friends early on in Sally that may have saved their life.
Mm-hmm.
I take the three deaths that we had during Sally personal, and I look at each of the situations and look at what we can do as an agency to even prevent any kind of fatalities before, during, or after a storm. And that's life, health, and safety is what comes to mind, and I'm very passionate about it. So help us in terms of outreach and getting connected and getting plugged in. The second thing I want to touch on, and I'll touch on this quickly, if you ever get to see me speak, I talk about this all the time, but I talk about human behavior. And what I talk about is onset of awareness, milling, and taking action. There's three behaviors we see.
Milling?
Milling, yes. So, Lori, what that means is I know a hurricane's coming, and I call you because you're my friend. And okay. I say, hey, what are you doing, Lori? Chances are whatever your first answer or whatever your response is what I'm going to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is beneficial, but it's also scary. Because you do have individuals.
You don't want me to say, I'm having a hurricane party.
I'm having a hurricane
you
party.
You want to say, I'm boarding up the windows.
Yeah, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere, right. You know. And what we forget about is your structure may be fine. You may be okay. But you may not have sanitary water. You may not have power, you know, for a number of days. I will tell you, it was extremely rare situation to have the amount of damage we had and the power restored like it was. And I don't want us to get into a comfort level as mm-hmm. a community of, well, our power was restored within 10 days, 9 days, 8 days. Good examples, look at Texas. You know, right, it's winter weather, but it's a disaster nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And individuals, the things that happen to us are stuff that, things that we don't account for, things we don't think about. If you're a diabetic and need insulin, having a way to keep your insulin cool, and if that's challenging for you, I encourage you to evacuate in any situation mm-hmm. where you can go somewhere where you don't have to worry about insulin supply and things. So
your emphasis is be prepared, which is what we can do this weekend with the severe weather preparedness sales tax holiday from, Friday night and through Sunday night at midnight. And then, Jenny, reflect a bit, if you will, before I run out of time, maybe 2 minutes we've got left, about Hurricane Sally and that experience. Where do we stand now based on where we were?
Let me just say that 2020 was absolutely an unrelenting year in weather. It was a historic, I know we're tired of hearing the word historic, but honest to goodness,
yes.
2020 was one for the books. And Hurricane Sally, one of the main things that I would like to talk about with Hurricane Sally is that people in our community may have a certain correlation of power related to a storm as it is categorized. Category 1 storm, Category 2 storm, Category 3 storm. I do not want people to think that just because it is quote-unquote just a Category 1 storm that it's only going to do this amount of damage. We saw that Hurricane Sally, it had very rapid changes in the way that it moved, in its forecast track, and it sort of had the trifecta of all of those mm-hmm. dangerous elements. It was moving incredibly slow. It had a copious amount of rainfall, you know, 20 to 30 inches in many of our locations. And with that slow movement and that duration of the wind that just pounded our area caused unprecedented amounts of damage. It is estimated that across the county we have more than 8 million cubic yards of vegetative debris. We also have lots of other things that go along with that. Of course, we know our coastal damage, our erosion, the home damages, the flooding that was created. It was all just affiliated. It was all very overwhelming with Sally. And so it was a very expensive experience, of course, and we have many people that are still recovering. And we know that the planning and the preparedness is very key, but at the same time, the recovery pieces for our community, it can be very lengthy. Mm-hmm. Because of the widespread devastation, being able to find contractors is very challenging.
Yes, it's still a challenge,
so,
isn't it?
So there's a number of things that go along with it. I think many people just need to share the information they know as well. We've talked, Zach was talking about it's important that you connect with us, but the rate that Baldwin County is growing, it's very important that we connect with our neighbors and talk to our mm-hmm. neighbors, because we probably have, if I have to estimate, I'm going to say around 60,000 people that may be here. They're moving here very quickly. They simply don't have experience with what these storms bring to the table.
Right.
So we need to share that information of preparedness. And we continue to work together as a team to recover from this, and we're ready to face any other challenge that comes our way.
Well, my hat's off to both of you for an incredible service to our community in Baldwin County through the hurricane, the pandemic, anything that comes along. Thank you so much, Director and Deputy Director Zach Hood and Jenny Gary from the Baldwin County Emergency Management Agency. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We feel privileged that you're both joining us today. If you missed